Can I complete Chairperson, please? And I didn't hear anything about the hostels. I've asked a question about that. Then it forces me to go further about the tribal land, whether there's any interaction with the local kings and princes around and princesses, no chiefs, I don't recognize chiefs, about this tribal land. And if there's any, how much of that can be developed? Thank you. Thanks for the...
Yeah, Chair, I just think we should get a written report.
I will start by introducing as a region practice my committee to all of our members of the committee. Please be ready to introduce yourself to the discussion. I'll start with myself here and my secretary here. My name is Mava. In English, that means mystery, it means fort. It means castle, whatever you want. That Nava is, you choose whether I am Nava because I'm a mystery to you, or I'm Nava because I am a castle to you, or I'm a fort to you, whatever you like. But that's the name of the And then my senior I am a member of the African National Congress. I also am partly a member of science and technology. For those who have technological interest, science and technological interest, I can also help if you understand in terms of technology. So I'm also a member of science and technology. Although I hardly have time now because of the electricity crisis, I hardly have time to attend the meetings of science and technology. But I try to. I miss it all. I've got here my secretary of the committee, Peter Paul Mbele. I am also the secretary who looks after our party interests in the park. At the back there. And then I'll start there for those members in the
My name is Ndile Matibela. My name is Nombula Matibela, member of the committee and member of the African
My name is Dokate Adimo, member of the committee and member of the African National Committee.
And to Temba Mashaba.
Hi, I'm Lance Trailing, a member of the committee and of the Independent Democrats.
I'm a member of the African National Congress. My name is Nicole. Mutala Iwatala, member of the ANC.
Thank you. I think that's it about my members' department.
Thank you, Captain. I'll allow my colleagues to introduce themselves, but the names are up there. I'm Tanta Kumedi, I'm the Deputy Director General of Harukawa.
I'm
Tindina Mwiti,
Deputy Director of Indikeni.
I'm Witness Mokwana, Indikeni.
I'm Matuna Ngobeni, Department of Minerals and Energy. In the Directorate for Electricity Policy and Regulation.
I'm Zomang Nendabula from the DME, Energy Office of Petroleum and
That's all about
call out from there. Right up to the back. Cut it from there. Yes, I'm going to send you right up to the back.
I'm going to send Moraji.
Good afternoon, my name is Sue Suisa from Business Unit South Africa.
My name is Evelyn Keyes, I'm from Netlink.
Good afternoon, my name is Herman Smuts, I'm from the State Law Advisors.
Good morning, Mr. Chair. It's Mal Hussain from PNG.
Hi, it's Sintuya Makasini, also from NASA.
It's Mal Hussain from PNG.
It's Adam Katz from the British Council.
I'm
okay, thank you very much. I think you can continue to talk with your report. If there was a question, yeah.
Kashni Gandhi from the Fountain.
Thank you. Did you keep? Should talk to you. Thank you, Chief Captain. I think, I'll start with the actual response to the comments in particular. It's an introduction in terms of general comments. We have to admit, most submissions are vague. And this is, I guess this is the bit to the public process.
I think I'll sit there because my comments have been
The submissions are generally very useful. Today's responses are not intending to respond to the detailed submissions in terms of wording, but rather to facilitate an engagement in terms of the high level discussions or high level issues that emerge from that conversation. We do admit that, and this has become very clear here, and it's become very clear with the engagement with NEDLAC, that an even better engagement prior to the parliamentary process would have been useful. We will, however, Jefferson, I think for the benefit of the House, to indicate, because I think sometimes when we talk about the bill having been published in 2003 for stakeholder comments and stakeholder engagement in 2004, perhaps it doesn't come across in terms of the extent of that engagement. That we will make available, Jefferson, for those that are interested, the bill of 2003 and the comments that were subsequently received. Because if you go through it, Jefferson, the only thing really that is new is that there was a division in terms of the advisory committee, but there was an addition of the energy modeling competency. But everything else, Jefferson, perhaps the wording matters. But in the 2003 engagement process, there was a 2003-2004 engagement process, there was a very extensive engagement on the bill. But we do acknowledge that had we had a better parliamentary, had we had a better engagement outside of the parliamentary process, this would still have been useful. We do see, contrary to what how perhaps people even from NEDLAC might be saying, that we do see there's a lot of improved wording in terms of development, in terms of how the bill is drafted, but. And that's really useful, but we don't see it as dramatically departing from the concepts which have been put in. Other than agencies, I'm talking about in terms of general bill. However, from as we start, I think there is generally a great misunderstanding on this concept of what we are, of this concept of energy security and the energy security master plan that has been adopted by cabinet. Specifically, the role of modeling and planning in that institution. And the way we see it is that, and it would be unfortunate if it came across in the bill as we were trying to take it out of the department, but modeling and planning remain the function of government. It remains the function of the Department of Minerals and Energy, and I guess in terms of the wording, in terms of the bill, it could well have, with the creation of the agency, could well have resulted and could have been seen as a process of subcontracting that, and that was not the intention. But we see a big role in terms of energy modeling and planning in terms of the whole concept of energy security, which all governments of the world are as an issue that they are actually grappling with. I think also linked to that is that there is clearly some stakeholders, some key stakeholders in fact, there is a misunderstanding about planning. Planning is about making choices. And the policy choice, and that unfortunately when you make choices, you're actually making policy. And that policy and that the choices on what you do remains the prerogative of the elected people and remains the prerogative of the Minister of Energy. And that is important as we go into this. It's important that we understand that planning is no different than part of policy choices you made to make. It's not different, it's not that much different from the strategies you can develop to give effect to some of the policies you make. And of course, some inputs you believe were self-serving. So, as I've indicated, Chairperson, in 2003, and it was something that came out last week, Chairperson, during the engagement, that perhaps we might have miscommunicated the level of stakeholder engagement prior to the bill coming to being introduced into the parliamentary process, and we believe not. We did, for instance, post those the withdrawal of the bill in 2006 to effect certain changes. Especially largely due to the fuel shortage of December 2005, and also the electricity shortages of 2006, beginning of 2006, and I guess to 2007, fuel shortage, electricity shortages have just made another impetus in terms of how we deal with it. Is that there were certain changes. Different focus, but the bill, in actual fact, other than the areas I've mentioned, which is the advisory service and also the introduction of the energy modeling agency concept, the bill did not change substantially. Again, as I go into this slide, we presented last week, but I think it would be important to start with it again and indicate to the honourable members that the energy bill does not intend to replace other pieces of legislation which are governing. We do believe that those pieces of legislation that serve particular purposes and they were created to serve purposes. Be it the Petroleum Products Act or the Electricity Regulation Act, the Gas Act, the Petroleum Pipelines Act, the Nuclear Act, everything that related to the governance of the energy sector, those pieces of legislation do serve a particular purpose, and we believe that they are largely around governance and redress, and of course issues of it's about competition and industry structural issues, and so forth. That this bill, in essence, is about looking, is actually forward looking. It's intended to be forward looking, so that's why it looks at energy research. It talks about securing supply going forward. It's about future fuels, about modeling and planning, it's daily and about data. It's about the future. That's what the bill is supposed to be about. And we've indicated that I'm not going to dwell on this. We presented this again. I just thought we'll put it that in terms of energy security, clearly if you are addressing issues of energy security, you have to deal with demand, as well as you have to deal with supply. But you don't also have to deal there with other issues which affect the availability of products, which have very little to do with demand or supply, but issues relating to foreign policy and even the macroeconomic framework. We discussed this in detail at Jefferson. I just thought it would be important to also put it on the table and say this is the premise on which we are actually operating, that energy security is not just about supply. But what it then does is that energy security, the only thing that I would like to raise here is that I know that in terms of definition we talk about affordability, and the question that is always asked, when we talk about affordability, are we now talking about tariff setting? And I think we had pain to explain that last week to indicate that in terms of normal economic principles, there is no such thing as no supply. There is no such thing as we don't have electricity or we don't have, in terms of pure economic principles, that if other people can't afford it. Because what then happens is that generally, if you run out of liquid fuel, whatever the impending shortage, the price short shoots up. It shoots up to a point where other people can't afford it. Therefore, if they can't afford it, it does not mean that it's not there. We're paying to explain that concept, that the energy security that we're looking at is one that does not use that principle of saying, the price is so high that people, that the demand has dropped off as what the, so the reference to affordability is actually in that respect. It's not about setting up.
I'm not sure, but you see, as it is the way you put it, it has one very, very important technical shortcoming. Yes. It is because you see, you have listed all those things. But you see, this list is finite, of course. But even in its finiteness, there are so many other things that you can still add here, which are to do with what you have put here. For instance, natural catastrophe, which is not there, and many others. So I think you should have put some dots to show that this is not the only thing, but finite, but and many the other.
Thanks for letting put your person. The challenge we have is that, for instance, in terms of catastrophe, the issue is that we might have a technology which is called the margin, which we borrowed from electricity, which is really about the insurance that the economy takes. And the insurance is supposed to deal with those catastrophes. We do say that in the bill that if we need to consider, and that's what we aim to, we try to do in some parts of this, but to deal with certain catastrophes, perhaps not all catastrophes, but that's what that's supposed to be. For instance, the reserve margin in terms of electricity supply, having more capacity to produce electricity than what you need, allows that if one plant is down, you still can supply electricity. And the same goes in terms of refining, but perhaps in refining, it might be in terms of liquid fuels, it might be a different approach. But that's what that thing was intended to. The challenge is that we have defined the assumption is that there is a great understanding of the energy security master plan or the energy security framework as detailed in the energy security master plan, because that's where these things have been drawn. So that's where we started. I'm just saying that's where the actual, sometimes the misunderstanding in terms of this bill comes in. That, for instance, the issue relating to affordability is not about setting tariffs, but it's about saying an approach to securing supply is not a purely market approach, which says you allow the prices to rise high enough that the demand falls off, and therefore you don't have a shortage, but then most people can't afford it, which is a different approach to saying you still need to make it available at the same price or at a similar price, at an affordable price to everyone. So it was an approach problem. Okay, can I continue? Also, I think to deal with the issues, there were a number of stakeholders that has raised a number of issues around, specifically around NERSA, the role played by NERSA. We just thought it would be important to start and indicate that perhaps we're operating from a different premise. That say, this is how we see this legislative process, I guess, in terms of energy. That it starts with the formulation of policy. Green papers, whatever the papers, I'm combining white paper and perhaps other strategies and plans that you come up with. But you then effect those policies through legislation. But then you then need to operationalize legislation and then implement it. But then you then need to continuously monitor both policies and basically the impact of what the policy is coming up, and continually be reviewing both the policy and the legislation to make sure you're achieving what you set out to do. That is a normal process in terms of what we do as a department. But to be able to do that, you need certain inputs, outputs, you need resources, you need to be organized in a particular way, and there are particular issues that actually emerge. For instance, in terms of policy formulation, the issues that we, and this is traditionally been the government role, I think, and your policy formulation, which is about, as I've indicated, the outputs there are things like strategies, plans, policy framework, green papers, white papers. Those are key outputs, and of course, got to be done with some level of engagement with stakeholders. Policy formulation is number driven, is data driven. And a lot of it is about economics, about technologies, but it brings into it experience. And so this slide was done, some of the things which was done a few years ago. But so some of the issues might not be as relevant. Them to be. But in essence, this is a departmental function. And I don't think anyone can argue against this. It's a department, the work of the department, that's what the department does. The trusting. The trusting also is a departmental function. And traditionally, like DME or most of government departments, traditionally this is a domain which we actually we have skills within the department that are intended to deliver on this function. Yes, in terms of resources, we also have a lot of stakeholder, state law advisor interactions, which facilitate this. But it's really, and the output there is all this legislation that is coming up, and also regulations. But it's really about drafting in the main. And that also has traditionally been a DME function. And then once we have a piece of legislation, we go to the office, make it work. If we had envisaged a particular entity in the bill, that's when you begin to create that entity. If we have systems that are envisaged, like for instance, we had the issue of mining permits or an exploration permit, or in our case, we have the licensing of the petroleum industry. That's where you need systems, you need to have. It's about regulation. In the design, you need to have people that understand how to try to write regulations, but you need to design the processes properly. It's mainly, that's the problem with this one, is that it tends to be a one-off function. And in the department, it's department, I think not just the Department of Mineral Energy, the department is largely being outsourced. It's one of those where we call consultants to do this work. Because it's highly specialized and also it's one-off. So to build a capacity within any department to do something once does not make sense. And then, of course, this last bit for me, which is about implementation. Now, yes, it assumes you've got good systems and you've got the proper HR, you've got the capacity, you've got the appropriate technology. It assumes you've got funding for them. But to make such that you've got effective processes that you issue out the licenses on time and on quality, you know, you need to actually have all of those. Now, in some cases, this is where departments, and specifically the Department of Mineral Energy, so there's been, for instance, in respect of regulation, that's where people have said, if you want to have an independent decision, that's where you create entities like NERFA. That's the role that they play. It's on the implementation. But in terms of the policy review, which then has to be continually monitored in terms of whether we are achieving, because entities in government don't exist for their own sake. They exist for a purpose. They were created to achieve something. And in terms of seeing whether that process is whether the entities were created for, whether they are achieving what they were meant to create. You still need to then have this actual review. The key issue there, I think, which is always an issue, is that it's the depth of skill. Because in some of these, when you're talking about implementation, for instance, whether it's contracting skills or whatever the skills might be, departments tend not to, unfortunately, have the skills. But it does not mean departments should not build the skills. But we can't assume that they are there. And in respect of NERSA in particular, or in respect of regulation, we've also, you know, I'll put this slide in there, I won't talk to it in detail, but we do see, again, we're just looking at in terms of the actual, this is how we looked at NERSA, and perhaps the only thing I wanted to talk to you about here is that sometimes in terms of the applicability of PAJA, the Promotion of Administrative Justice Act, is that traditionally we've always looked and said anything that happens on the left of the site is a publish and comment domain, and then we've said anything that happens on the right of this one is about the approach should be public hearing. But in respect of NERSA, I think what is important to understand is NERSA was created from three separate laws, which were all creating regulators. There was NER, which was an electricity regulator. The Gas Act had created a gas authority or gas regulator. The Petroleum Pipelines Act created an authority as well. And the NERSA, when it was created, intention was to truncate all of those entities that were created and created now. So that wasn't what NERSA was about, but its role is about regulation. And why was NERSA? It was about, again, it was this concern about the proliferation of state entities, about synergies and efficiencies. Because it was all energy carriers, it was about seeing whether it can't have a proper even treatment of all this. It was about cost saving, but it was about the shortage of this scale, which was a regulatory scale. So, in respect of NERSA, there's been a lot of issues that have been raised around in the submissions around conflicting mandates and things like that. I think all the acts that NERSA governs is very explicit in terms of what its functions are. I'm not going to go through all of them. But in respect of gathering of data, it is important to understand that it's specific in respect of what data it can collect. It says gather and store information relating to those particular things, nothing more. In terms of the Petroleum Pipelines Act, yes, there's an issue here about promotion of competition. But these are the functions. I didn't spell there are others, of course, that have dropped out, like consult government and things like that. In terms of the functions, but you can look at the Petroleum Pipelines Act of 2003. This is what you see in there, plus its additional ones that have left out. But there is nothing in there about modeling. Absolutely nothing about modeling. There is nothing in there about planning. Absolutely nothing about planning. There is aspects in terms of gathering of certain information, but it's specific that is in relation to the construction, conversion, and operation of the petroleum facilities. It doesn't say facilities, it's a long word, but I just wound that up to the petroleum facility. And I think that for me is important to note. The same with the Gas Act. The Gas Act also, the methods functions under the Gas Act are explicitly laid out. And those functions, in respect of gathering of data, it also says it's relating to the production, transmission, storage, distribution, trading, and application. But this is only in respect of pipe gas. It does not even deal with LPG. It does not deal with industrial gas. It doesn't deal with, I'm talking about oxygen and nitrogen. It's really very specific. It's in respect of pipe gas. In there, it talks to the promotion of optimal use of public, of optimal use of this gas resource. I'm not sure whether that can be seen as security of supply. Optimal use to me does not read as security of supply. But the point I'm trying to make, okay, maybe let me go to the Electricity Act, the Electricity Regulation Act. The Electricity Regulation Act is also very specific in respect of the function that NERPA has. Yes, it has got these two issues which I've highlighted, which is issue rules designed to implement, I think the key word is implement. It implements the integrated resource plan. It implements the integrated resource plan. It does not develop the integrated resource plan. It implements. And I think that for me is a key. We can go through all of that. Yes, a part of the data again is the established and managed monitoring and information system and the national information system goes on and on and on. But in essence, these are the functions that NERPA's Act is. It is very explicit in terms of what it can do. Perhaps it doesn't say what it can't do, but being an agency that's created by the creature of the law, it has very specific functions, and if it operates anything outside of that, I think it will be important that it be noted that I think even the state of Alabama will tell you that that's not true. They will be acting outside of their mandate. I've took the liberty of drawing what I call an energy map here. I've took the liberty of drawing what I call an energy map. The intention of this is for people to understand what we mean by energy space is big. I have highlighted these red areas that what I term the NERPA's domain. In respect of electricity and gas, NERPA's domain starts from transformation or generation. It deals with transport, which means transmission or whatever, and it deals with wholesale. In respect of the petroleum industry, for instance, it only deals with petroleum pipeline industry, which is storage, handling facilities, and pipelines. The petroleum industry, in terms of logistics, it's got rail, it's got road, it's got a whole lot of issues. You know, all I'm just simply saying is I'm trying to explain, that's why I've drawn it as a partial. The point I'm trying to raise here is that the energy space big. And doesn't even touch on the market, which is the demand side. ESCOM, of course, would have information on the demand on the market, but not necessarily information that is shared by the regulator or with the regulator. So I have spent a bit of time, Jefferson, on this, because a lot of the comments were hinging on. I thought it was useful to spend a bit of time in explaining that there is no overlap because the acts of Parliament are intended, are supposed to be very specific in respect of what each of these agencies, if you are going to create an agency, what the agency is supposed to do. And I just looked at this and said, you know, this was also a slide which I had in that, but it's a kind of data that for us, in terms of the modeling, it's the kind of data that we've been looking for, which also talks to the market, you know, talks to the supply, it talks to the upstream here. For instance, in terms of gas, NERPA does not regulate the issuing of exploration rights. That's a part of the domain, petroleum agency of South Africa. In respect of this other one, coal or whatever the issues might be, NERPA doesn't. That's the role of the Department of Mineral Energy under the NPRDA. So So that's what I just thought I would actually send. And then dealing specifically with planning. I know there's been reference in some of the things that in respect of electricity, methods of planning. The Act, which was passed by this House, 2006 Act, Act number 4, specifically saying what is an integrated resource plan. It means a resource plan established by the national sphere of government to give effect to national policy. And I think it's important that, as I've just discussed again, planning is about making choices. And unfortunately, the choices that government makes would always have impact on the cost and availability of electricity. And that is a domain of government, not of any agency. I won't go through this. Again, some slides I pulled on last time. And this one as well, I think the only thing that I wanted to indicate here is that we do, in terms of the energy sectors, when we're looking at the demand sectors, we are looking in terms of we are looking in terms of regions, in terms of housing types, in terms of what energy is used. You know, it's not, and that's the kind of information we're going to be looking for, because some of the data of the data are raised there. So going, Chairperson, directly to the comments that you raised. I just put out, as I indicated, I didn't pull out the details. Some of the details, as indicated, is very useful, but I've just put out the key issues that have been raised. For instance, the issue around the first issue raised, that if the proliferation of operational activities between NASA and agencies, so it does not really define where each mandate ends and the other begins, we would like to believe that the method money is clear as well. I think I've spent time to communicate that. The bill does not address security of supply, why we South Africa is currently experiencing. We have to admit, Chairperson, the bill is not just about supply, it's about energy security in general. So if we can be better improved to deal with the supply issue as well, better. The criminalization of non-compliance. I think the issue that we have here is that what we understand when that has come from this, unfortunately, for most of the other acts, we rely on the court. We issue a license, but we can't even revoke it. The license can only be revoked by a court outside. We request particular compliance in terms of the conditions of licenses, but we can't even, if someone doesn't comply, we rely on the court to actually do that. That is a principle decision that I think this government can well change. But even the STATS Act does the same. But yes, the competition law and also I think the National Energy Regulator Act, in respect of them sitting at the tribunal, allow for them to deal better. So it's something that I think can be improved in the future, but I think it will need a general decision in terms of how the decision arrives. The bill was drafted before the establishment of NASA and does not take into account subsequent changes which were brought about by the change. We honestly have to say none of the functions in the bill are the same as NASA. We do not concur with that notion. It does not set out who has the power to develop the framework on how these agencies will interact with other agencies. Yeah, I guess these are DME implementing agencies. I guess what we are coming from is that they all report to the minister, at least the DME agencies, and therefore they are governed by that relationship. There was no consultation with NASA. I think where we're coming from there is that we just simply said we had a general stakeholder engagement, but did not single out NASA. But then again, in respect of the three pieces of legislation that NASA administers, in developing any regulation, the minister has to consult with NASA, but not on everything else. There is no obligation of NASA to single out NASA. The thing that says NASA is that there is de facto doing modeling and energy information collection for its electricity price regulation goal? Well, yeah, we don't think. And my colleague from electricity will add as well. But the one thing that I thought was also missed in this issue is that sometimes we also, the issue of levies, we forget that in terms of costs and what have you, NEPA is funded by levies. Levies on electricity, levies on gas, levies on petrol and pipeline. And therefore, if you give it additional responsibilities, you're going to also find additional funding. So I just thought, by the way, it was missed. I just want more just a reminder to myself in terms of the issue that we're raising. There needs to be some public consultation about assumptions to be used and a nomination of an authority that approves the assumption. We agree stakeholder interaction is vital. But we are must admit, we always assume that in everything that we do engage stakeholders. Perhaps the issue is about how wide stakeholder group that we engage with. But in terms of approving assumptions, Minister, this unfortunately is the domain of the Minister of Energy. And then of course, the last slide, application of Scarfield is there to strengthen existing agencies and provide them with an unambiguous mandate than to establish new agencies. Look, I have to admit, NEPA has got a skill set in terms of regulation, but modeling is a different skill set. I would be, and in itself, NEPA has developed NERP, the National Integrated Resource Plan, it employs consultants. All we are then simply saying is that rather than have in terms of something as fundamental as policy, which is energy planning, be run by consultants, let's create those skills in Tina. Perhaps the way we went about it might not necessarily be most appropriate. But that's what we attempted to develop the modern material. The duplication of tasks and expenditure, clearly that's an important issue. Renewable energy are best introduced through regulatory determined tariffs and purchase obligations like feed-in tariffs. I think the issue that doesn't always come out there is that these feed-in tariffs imply higher consumer electricity prices. Perhaps the better way to do this is subsidies. But that's a policy. The decision in terms of how you introduce renewable energy and foster their use more in the economy, that's a policy decision. And the policy ministry should be the one that makes the decision. ESCOM has very similar issues. But yeah, in terms of duplication of roles, I've said that overly prescription, we were indicating that clarity of roles and functions is important. For later on, for instance, to be able to pull out what your agents that you put up, what the roles are being intended to be. Interim arrangements that say the request that interim arrangements need to be put up while the bodies are established, clearly that's important. We didn't think that addressing the non-technical losses, like the tampering of meters, was an issue for the energy bill. We thought that was supposed to be an issue for the electricity regulation. And then, PASASA, of course, but the issue that we were raising was that what is the role of provincial and local government in planning? We just believe that this planning, again, talks to this, there is role for all government stakeholders in planning. And this is what we thought also in the bill, it was clear, perhaps it's something that needed to be elaborated even further. They needed a clear government policy on whether paraffin will be phased out or not. I guess the issue here is that it's clear what they're saying is a government policy. It's really about, not about the policy, but they need to be a policy of government. But the vision for government is clear, that is for the vision for access to modern energy carriers and services, of course. But of course, there are other issues that are linked to that. The requirement for a closer collaboration with the Department of Health makes sense. Advocating they were, as they indicated, that they were advocating for the safe use of paraffin wire being used, and that was noted, and then the issues of the mechanism that would caution the poor against price hike. We believe that the reserve of the petroleum product. ERC bill focuses on supply and underplays the importance of demand side. Again, with a simple thing that was not the intention. The intention is that it's supposed to be demand driven, but that can be clarified. It is very unclear, maybe what the fund or what the fund or portions of it are available for research. We did indicate, we thought that Section 24 was clear enough, but it can be something that can be expanded and explained. And there was an issue about strategic energy minerals that rather we actually, should replace with holding of strategic stock for energy carriers. That was noted, but it should be important to note that it's not just about energy carriers, but it's also about resources too. There was a minimum coal for us. We might need to have strategic coal reserve. As much as have a reserve margin in terms of ability to produce it. The information provided under the Act must be placed in the domain, in the public domain. On this one, we said we clearly say no, because the problem is if you can't protect the confidentiality of the information people just will not provide confidentiality. And so, everyone loses. So there needs to be a way. I believe that the way that it's structured in the bill can perhaps improve a little bit, but that is the way it was actually proposed. Again, there were certain issues around specifically the plan horizon for 25 years that is unduly restrictive. We do believe that in terms of energy planning, you need to have a timeline. And again, it becomes a little hazy to see what technologies will be beyond 25 years. So that's why it's only 25 years. Even though energy planning, in general, when you put anything in planning in energy, it tends to have a long horizon. But, beyond 25 years, it gets a little hazy in terms of what technologies, for instance, might exist. The composition of the board is too narrow. We can consider that. There was a specific question about the renewable finance scheme within the department, whether it's going to be replaced if the function moves to funding and then to the CDA. And the issue around tracks, that particular technology, that instrument, whether it was an appropriate way to make reference to it in the Act, we agree. Any explicit reference to a single approach in the bill should be. The bill makes no provision for stakeholder input into energy policy or planning. Well, I must admit, we always assume that was implicit in terms of how we deal with policy. But I think this is important here to understand, for instance, when do we deal with NEDLAC? Because even with the NEDLAC processes, if we know that all the bills that we develop have to go to NEDLAC, that's a nice process. But there is no such decision. I've been party to at least 5 bills that have come through this house. This was the first one that had to go to NEDLAC. Specifically go to NEDLAC. Condition comments is a different process. So it always raises the question, and that we need to actually get, we need to get guidance on that, as a principle. They also, them and NEDLAC, some bills, they I think because the head lecturer is here, he can respond, but there is no explicit requirement in any of our processes to take this thing through. On all of them.
In terms of the NEDLAC Act, any proposed labor legislation must, I underline it, must be tabled in NEDLAC before it is introduced in Parliament. Any policy change that might have social economic impact must be tabled in NEDLAC before being introduced in Parliament. Now, on socio-economic policy, is socio-economic policy. There is no specific reference to a draft bill. Now, it follows, logic follows, that you can't have a draft bill out of nowhere. There has to be policy consideration. So that's where NEDLAC kicks in. Now, government departments, for some mysterious reason, sometimes choose to find a particular book, not to bring those bills. But I think what is important from what Kumede is saying is that perhaps we need to indicate much earlier in the process in terms of which bills do we want to consider. Of course, we cherry pick. We don't want every bill. There are some bills that are not of strategic nature that may require us to invest a lot of time. So perhaps that's a process that needs to be finalized. But there is a protocol that was negotiated and agreed by all four NEDLAC social partners, including government. It's just that the minerals and energy is not one of the core government departments that serve the NEDLAC. So you may not be aware of the protocol, but National Treasury, Trade and Industry, Public Works, and the Department of Labor are the four core government departments that serve the NEDLAC. And they don't speak on their own behalf. They'll speak on behalf of government. So I think it follows that if they agree on something on behalf of government, it's their responsibility to bring the other government departments into the loop. But it's an issue that we need to look at. We need to look at how do we bring the other government departments on par with the way we do things in that case. I think it's a huge challenge that we need to look at going forward. I think you see, from what you have just said, it seems that therefore it's a very wide term of economic, related to legislation, because I know most of it is economic related, and so it therefore brings duty on your part. Once a draft bill, which is in a bad one, affects us. One or another in terms of economic policy, indicated that in good time that we will leave this on here, because then you eliminate it to this problem that we already have. I think it's very, so I think you must do it, you must then, depending on what the stakeholders and all that, you must work out the time so that it doesn't do the time of problem that it has already caused to us. We are, it's our first experience ourselves to carry it, and it is not part of that. As our first experience did, where we have to decide on the street, like our driver on the street, and decide that you can deploy the thing, it can't be right now. It should be relatively carried more power to put it. I think if you should let out the mechanism, especially in that level, because you are saying they are not part of it, those departments that are, I mean, those government departments that are there. To much liable with them so that they can do a post taking from other area, other departments which may affect the process.
But Chair, this energy bill is very different because when there was a commitment, not from Mr. Kumede himself, but from representatives of BME, very senior representatives from BME, before we went to the electricity stakeholder summit, that this bill was going to be taken. Yes, at
NEDLAC.
It never happened. We had to scream for the bill to come there. When it eventually arrived, it was the 4 days. They said, hey, we don't work like that.
But I hear you, Chair. We'll follow up and develop some kind of arrangement.
The point that we're trying to make, though, is that the intention is that the way that we would normally operate is that we will have stakeholder engagement. But unfortunately, we need to work out a proper mechanism in terms of how we engage, such that our stakeholder engagement processes or meetings are widely publicized as possible. And the government can let us not normally reach that kind of, so we might have to find another way. But the intention is always to solicit as much stakeholder input into policy. So that was the first issue. Then the issue that addressed by EIG again on that matter should be the role of collection of data and data. The establishment of EMEA is a modeling agency. Will compromise the independence of NERSA and lead to duplication of effort and confusion of outcomes. Are we really to that statement? I mean, the independence of the regulator in terms of making independent regulatory decisions based on plans that have been approved by, developed and approved by government, I don't see how that. How the modeling would compromise that is a mystery. Electricity is electricity supply and is responsible to ensure that it has made provision for electricity. We agree that ESCOM should be a supplier of electricity. That's a policy. And it is not. It is operating on a commercial line. It's got commercial mandate, declares whatever. It also has the software to manage its inventory like any other producer. If it feels that holding 60 days of coal stock is not good for the balance sheet and it wants to hold five days of coal stock, it can't then. Is it the right thing to do? No. That's not what we are saying. They are realities. Whether and if the mandate to ESCOM changes in terms of the ESCOM Act, we agree it will actually help. But if all it is, it becomes an agent to do something. But it does not serve that policy either. Petro says input was about strategic stock. We would like to believe that Petro say also misunderstood the Act itself. Because the SAF Act, it does not mandate any holding of stock. The SAF Act is about raising of funds. It mandates the minister to raise funds, but it's not about, as it says, the summary aim to manage crude oil stocks on behalf of the state. That is not in the SAF Act. So they are not correct. The fact that Petro SAF fulfills a function managing those strategic assets on behalf of the state, the SAF Act makes reference, and the directive which was served on SAF under the SAF Act, and to hold the stock. At least there is a reference in the SAF Act to the SFF Association, which is the Strategic Fuel Fund Association, which is a subsidiary of SAF. But who does it within SAF really is that we believe that's a SAF issue. The purpose of the bill is appropriate upkeep and equitable access to energy infrastructure is supposed to be NERSA's role. Yes, some aspects of energy infrastructure are regulated by NERSA, but I think rather pain checked in earlier to indicate that the energy space is bigger than what is currently under the domain of NERSA. But also in terms of infrastructure anyway, the actual appropriate upkeep is something that has been
I was wondering.
was a request chaplain to divine energy. Unfortunately, energy is changing, and to limit to divine energy. I just thought I'll just put this one, just one point that the, this was the first X thing, but at the end of that, that the point I'm trying to make is that the first X does not oblige holding of any strategic stock. It's about money. It raises money, but it's not about the imposition of levies for the acquisition fund, which can be used for certain things, but it's not about holding of any. Why there is no duplication with this act, with this bill. Even the Petroleum Products Act, for instance, it also, the issue we're trying to raise is this one. Even with some of the other acts, the Petroleum Products Act, for instance, the minister may oblige any person to publish classes at which, whatever. So there is that in terms of data. And the minister may make regulation for the purpose of ensuring the saving and the efficient and safe use of petroleum products. Or even describe the quantities of crude oil or petroleum products that can be maintained by a person. But that's mainly commercial stock, but it doesn't deal with strategic stock. In terms of any person, I guess one might argue that even the state that this was in a way more than interpreted in the fact of any company that is consumer. And even, I guess, under the Petroleum Products Act, also the obligation for license holders to keep records and to furnish those particular information to the controller of petroleum products. But those are in respect of assets. And of course, the Petroleum Products Act also calls for keeping a provision of records and information to be kept by the controller. And also calls for the terms of the continuity of the plan. Under normal operating conditions and potential issues. But those are issues relating to commercial stock. Looking at the comments raised by Sustainable Energy Africa, they unfortunately what they're saying is that the focus should be on that the bill focuses on energy security and not on the poor and the environment. We unfortunately, the way we see it is that energy and the economy are one, and there is a complex relationship between the impact on the economy and the impact on people in respect of energy, like water. So if the intention was not to focus on, I mean, the impact should be on poverty alleviation, on improving the economy and also, of course, protecting the environment. That's what the bill is. I guess they will understand the objective to be important. They were very good. They were supported. They, instead of talking about access to energy only, also had energy services. There was also an issue that was raised, which was, I think, also an oversight where we were looking at this section in terms of energy modeling, that we were focusing only on what we call the baseline. So it says optimization modeling set out in the bill is welcome, but the bill should be two scenario modeling. We agree with that. And that's where I think we had pains and where we're differing with people, and I'll talk to that again when we talk to the input from Noom and Consult. I think, though, in terms of what we were saying that should be supported, is that clearly what we were concerned with is that in most cases in South Africa, we don't have a baseline. We don't have to say, we, in terms of existing policies or existing supply options or whatever, we need to have a proper baseline and understand where in the communities of Mushengubil, what kind of energy, what kind of energy carriers are they using, how much, how, what drives their behavior, and all sorts of things like that, so that we can then be able to then come up with policies or define scenarios in terms of how we can change them. So that we are agreeing with Chairperson. I guess they are was bigger than that.
Yeah, but you remember we then say that not right to start making modeling types, because once you start to do that, others will ask what it is to do, why it also didn't do this other kind of model. I call it complicated of modeling right there. So I think
and then there was the issue about collection of data, that this is to be given a mandate to collect any information. And really it was also about adequate and updated data on informal settlements, which the House has still of concern. But the issue that wanted to raise is that data, collection of data is a very important thing. Why in terms of census, for instance, I understand 1 to 4 years one has. Because collection of data is a very expensive process. But especially if you collect any aspects of data which are required for an industry. So any form of participation in terms of data collection would be welcome. It does, however, raise the issue in terms of the integrity of the data. Because it's important that data can be, as they say, garbage in, garbage out. If you get bad data, you will make very bad decisions. You rather not have the information, actually, because if it's bad data, it can be misleading. Rationalize existing and new institutions to ensure that institutions are sufficiently and capably manned or staffed. The issue here is about designing appropriate structures to deliver on the federal mandate. And what we're saying is that can happen within the department or it can happen outside of the department. So I know that some stakeholders would prefer that all that happens within the department, but we agree in principle. You need to ensure that you've got properly, you need to have the resources that are required to deliver on any of the mandates. Chamber, there was an issue around the advisory body, but what we are saying is that there was no provision for this in the white paper, that's why it's not available. As I've indicated, stakeholder participation is always assumed. Calling the representation on the board of Narafanedi, we consider. Establish EMEA under energy development under Fanedi and the funds from fiscals, I guess we were simply saying that modeling and planning are just too close to policy to give it two and agency outside. Fanedi's input was, I think, two issues were raised by them. The first one was that by them being located under the staff, people are limited. It allows them to actually limit overhead. They have access to HR systems, they have access to all other systems. So it's an issue that we need to deal with if we move it outside of that. We need to deal with that. It requires additional funding. And of course, the transfer arrangements are things that can be considered. But the one issue I wanted to raise here was that Fanelli was a pain to talk about the parity in terms of remuneration with similar institutions is required for the experience. How you do that, whether you do that within government, or within outside, I think that's an issue. And they were pain also to say that Fanelli was late funding alone. Could bend the state in the future, but he said there's no test, but this remains a state situation anyway. Renewable Energy Working Group, the consultation with the Minister, peer review of publication by EMEA, and there was an issue they raised that there were concerns with market-related remuneration. This should be in line, our salary should be in line with government salary. We just have this thought that, you know, it's time that if we are being honest with ourselves, that for us to be able to attract the appropriate skills and retain them within government, government needs to find a way of being, it operates within a particular system, and the rules of the system are defined. It either government can change the rules outside, or it itself has to play by rules. It actually can't be involved. Because if government doesn't, it always has an issue, especially with the bureaucracy, that in terms of the bureaucracy, most of those people, unfortunately, the issue of power does play an important part in their making decisions.
I think, remember, many people are saying that also, can I have some information? What happened?
There are certain things, like for instance, this issue around planning and the government department. We have thought that we have indicated that in terms of planning, Department of Transport develops. Unfortunately, what department, for instance, let's take the issue relating to the 2010. Department of Transport might deem it that they will introduce 1,500 buses for 2010. But when they introduce those 1,500 buses, it means we have to have diesel for those buses. Those are diesel buses. And maybe there might even be an opportunity missed to introduce compressed natural gas buses. So in Department of Transport making transport plans, it has to interact with energy, because decisions they make in terms of transport have got a serious impact in terms of energy demand. But Department of Minerals and Energy cannot tell Department of Transport what it can do. It only can interact with them and highlight these areas and take also their plans, because transport is a demand center. Take their plan or their policies into account when planning for energy supply. So this goes to electricity, to even petrol, Transnet, and basically all meant by that is this was not intended to be exclusive. It's basically all SOEs, all government departments, I guess even individual companies out there, we can't go and tell Bafor, for instance, to have Project Mafuta. However, if Sasol will build Project Maputa and it's got a definite plan of putting Project Maputa, we can't ignore it as well in terms of the energy mix, because it will be there. As much as we can't ignore it in terms of environmental impact. You know, there's a whole lot of issues that say people will still make their plans, but all we're simply asking going forward is that in people making those plans, that at least there's an interaction with the energy model. That there is a level of interaction with that energy model, such that people can understand the impact of every decision that they are going to make, any policy choice that they are making. They call it like the second last one, tomorrow. Really, they were talking about, they were clear about their mandate, they are pro renewable. And they're looking for subsidies and tax incentives for renewables, and of course, better efficiency. We would like to believe that is covered in that just a program that the minister may initiate by any initiative. Better efficiency, of course, as the cheapest and energy and most environmentally friendly. Point is noted, that was said, but clearly they were anti-nuclear, and we say the bill does not advocate single energy carrier or resource, and even with modeling, it's really just to facilitate better understanding of impact
Earth Life, then the, with a very interesting. The real issue here around the bill does not adequately focus on the poor again. We on this one, Chapter 6, whether again it's a fundamental issue that says, you know, the Constitution, Bill of Rights, Chapter 2 of the Constitution, has more than just Section 24. And when one looks at the issue that you talk about, the focus on Section 24 alone on the Bill of Rights tends to be a bit of a problem. But for all the others, including Section 24, that you need proper data analysis and analysis to be able to exercise those rights. The need to provide choices of energy in RPP houses, I think Chapter 6 has dealt with that at the last meeting. The bill does not adequately address the need to allow public access to energy statistics. We, as we said, we need a balance between the provision of data by whoever the owner of the data and making it available to the general public. The bill should set an explicit target. I think this issue was also raised and debated in the House. Honourable members here debated this, that the bill should be constructed. If it's even to 15%, why not 18, why not 20, and that could change in time. But it's going driven, should be based on realities, which are really about cost and availability. They went on to say there is no need for strategic stock, especially at this high crude oil price. Chapter 6, we believe this is very well for anyone in South Africa to think this. I think we attained in some of the discussions to indicate that based on 2005 numbers, South Africa could lose up to a billion rand a day if there was no fuel. It would be irresponsible of any government not to ensure that the adequate supply of fuel. Because same with electricity, maybe that number could be higher for electricity. It would be irresponsible to think. And Morani funding were very explicit. That what happened in 2006 was largely because the industry had very low levels of refined product stock. In closing, Chapter 10, I think this would be the last one. There were comments from Kosatu and Loom that clearly it's about that lack of consultation. Again, Chapter 10, we have to say, we really do believe that this bill was adequately consulted in 2003-2005. Yes, there were changes. And the concern that we have is that it is important that you come up with a better. The intention is never is for us to consult. We don't, it's not the intention to bypass the process. And therefore, we need to find ways of making that happen better. And then the bill provides for policy formulation. For policy formulation, this is the concern, is that the policy formulation that will be done by agencies, and clearly we would concur, Chairperson, that any policy formulation, any aspect of the bill that looks like it's about formulation of policy being given to agencies would actually have to be removed. The issues of commercialization of energy-related technologies, it's something that needs to be discussed, because, for instance, in the sector of the thin film technology, for instance, which was developed in South Africa for solar, you know, if someone needed to actually invest in that, and SERF was only taking a 3% shareholding in that, but perhaps it could have taken a bigger slice. CTL was developed by SERF, so it's something that I think needs to be dealt with, but I think managed properly. Although emphasis on affordable prices is whatever is welcome in universal access, the omission here is on free basic services. We would like to say, Jefferson, that we believe that a free basic electricity policy is really an electricity pricing policy. We believe that it's dealt with, or should be dealt with, under the Electricity Regulation Act. And the serious concern relating to the creation of NEMIA or EMIA outside of the DME. And what I'd like to indicate to the President is that this has been noted. It was never the intention to to move policy formulation out of it. Perhaps what we are attempting to do is address capacity problems, not directly, which we should do, and therefore that's the issue that we believe we will deal with. That they, we would be amenable, Jefferson, as we indicate, to actually have the function being dealt with as well. But clearly there's an issue that needs that we need support on, Jefferson, is that when we want to build the energy planning capacity within the department, that certain people within government do not then decide that energy planning should reside somewhere else, which is a problem. But to deal with it, perhaps we need to find a way of dealing with it outside of the bill process. But the intention was never to actually subcontract policy formulation, which includes planning. I think the point that I wanted to raise with this particular each clause that was raised here around 11.1 of the proposed bill, but that it presupposes consensus on the ideological orientation, is that the intention here, when we talk about policy as a baseline, we do not mean, the intention was not to deal with policy, of saying whether they approved or generally acceptable policy. What we meant was that we were, and it perhaps didn't read well, but what we meant by that, in essentially what we are saying is that the modeling should not advocate for new policies. It should incorporate, yes, all the existing policies, but it itself should not advocate for policies. As a baseline, you need to have the baseline of existing policies. Yes, when we do scenarios, you can then look at the proposed policies and look at scenarios in that space. Market salaries, clearly again, I'm not going to talk about this, but Jefferson, we do say that the state needs to be competitive in terms of salaries to be able to attract appropriate, not just salaries, but conditions again. Especially in the area where the skills reside in the private sector. I have had lots of people, Jefferson, who say in South Africa that only ERC can do modeling. That is not true at best. Almost all the oil companies have got, when they decide in each month how much, what crude oil to buy, whatever, there are linear programmers that do that. The programming skills or the modeling skills exist in South Africa, but they exist only in the private sector because of whatever the issue might be. But to be able to get access to those skills, which the state needs, it will be very difficult to do that if it's not competitive in terms of
left it to 15 minutes. I'm sure we'd like to hear something important.
Jefferson, I think I'm actually have come to it. The only question that I wanted to ask earlier, Jefferson, was in this presentation, we did not explicitly consider NEDLAC report. We were party to those discussions, so we have a copy of the draft report. But which honestly we would not have perhaps strongly indicated by Kabaze that we it's like a rewriting of the. We do believe that there are proposed weddings and proposed definitions that they're putting, which are of value. But the question is how do we, you know, we need to find a way before you finalize it. We are proposing that we need to find a way of incorporating the issues from that report. And then, of course, that raises the question in terms of the timeline, when the intent is how we go about it. We'll come to that too. Okay.
Tesla. same proposal. If they are, if they are not, so that we also can take it from the non-concurrent proposal.
Honorable Chair, thank you very much. I think what we will do is plan to finalize the MEPET report and sign off on it tomorrow. And we could then make a copy available. A copy to the department and a copy to Parliament. And that will be the copy of our report and what we have agreed with the department of what changes should go into. When will we as the committee see the upgrade final auto draft? Because we need to know timelines of the first spoken. On Wednesday, tomorrow afternoon. Do you think by tomorrow you'll have found the consensus into your proposed draft? Because that you almost have written. You haven't done much anything that is new, except the reading of everything that they've already written. That's what he said. Probably that is why you say it will be easy, because it is the same thing that you'll bring in tomorrow, except a few things. But I heard you saying here in the morning that you've almost written that year. So who is speaking the truth to him? Ubuti he is a bureaucrat and he has not been part of the network processes. He just came and introduced the technical team there. So the technical team from DME that we're working with has been part of the rewriting process. All what we need from Umgoni is to say, yes, I agree. That's all. So tomorrow, Honorable Chair, we'll make the report available. All what we need Umgoni to do is to say, well, we agree with the position taken by my negotiating team at that time.
Okay, and then it's like that then. I'm sure they were representing him there, so he will not say, okay. So it means what you agree with now is something of the past. So there's very little that you see that you can take therefore about this period now as it stands until we get that draft tomorrow, which is an accurate policy between us. And then we can start processing something that represents now actually your consensus. But you still remember that we have to change it also to what suits us. So the final product it may be is Kukukuna. Okay. Right. I think therefore I don't think remember that there is very much that you can interact with it since they are still going to make all these changes. I think at this stage we can only thank them that they were able to come and clarify us and that also there is both input to some of the concerns at the beginning of what we would like to see being incorporated as at the beginning of the final draft of what the submissions were all about. And we will take it from there and still put it in the dry cleaning of the committee, dry clean it, dry it up, and then see the product that comes out of it. If it still needs some coloring, we put some dye, and then it becomes what people of South Africa want with all the colors of the Rainbow Nation. I see there is a member who wants to raise something there.
No, Jefferson, just a one or two comments that I wanted to make. Firstly, there's been this concern of consultation, and there's been an explanation that there was sufficient consultation around about 2004. I'm not sure whether if the department can they do the same thing in future. Would they be able to say today they still feel they are happy with what happened in 2004, in spite of the fact that there might be very little changes. Is it true that this is just a continuation of the work that we stopped in 2004? Or it is a revival of that work and that's why we've got new public hearings? That's the first one. I'm saying this, Chairperson, understanding that probably if they would have not had that mentality of saying, no, we did some work in 2004, there is a lot of time that has taken, almost 4 years. That there's been movement of people, there could have been changes in different setups of thinking. It could have helped us a lot as a committee if they would have created space to do it in the same way that they've done it in 2004, in spite of the fact that probably the committee might be the same, but to satisfy themselves that there's no good sort of complaint because some of their entities that they've created are competitive. That's the first one. The last one is if in case, because currently NEDLAC's submission to the department, we are not privy to it. If it could happen that it's very substantive, that the other day the department comes with more changes than we anticipated, what would that do to the rest of, because if you understand, it seems as if the consultation with NEDLAC should have been done before this was presented to us, or probably maybe before it even was made open to the public. Now, the public is understand this is the document that they base their comments. If there's a fundamental shift of the document upon the presentation of NEDLAC report, what would that mean to those who commented upon a different version?
Because this bill is going to be, as far as it's being presented, it's going to be a master, a security master type of energy planning. It will have to, I think, the architect, which is the CDG, will have to really work hard so that it accommodates a lot of important concepts in energy. One, I'm having in mind that when you deal with a strategic and a master plan type of bill like this, you have to think about one of the most important things in the world of energy is to model the geography of the economics of energy. Geography of the economics of energy is very important, and there are also very advanced concepts such as exergy and anarchy. These are all the things that we need to really, because this field is going to be dealing with the reality of all aspects from lower level approach to very high level technical approach of modeling the real energy of the country and the region. So, environmental, the significance of environmental modeling in terms of energy will also be part of I think before it comes out, we will put a lot of many important concepts and information that it should look into. So that when it comes out of the dragon, it will be worthless. But I think it is a very good start, as many people have said. It is a very good start. Countries that have succeeded in their energy system, they have really done a lot of modeling. Actually, they have been able to even differentiate between deregulation, privatization, and commercialization of energy. These are not the same concepts, but many people think that these things are the same. they are totally not the same. Each has got very repercussive implications to society if it is properly chosen, improperly chosen. So these are all, it's all about very modest. That is very modest. Anyway, I think can you respond to what you remember?
Thanks, Chairperson. I think that the first question. If we could redo this process again in terms of stakeholder engagement,
right.
Would we do it differently? Would we upfront introduce the bill, go to cabinet and ask for the bill to be published for stakeholder consultation first, and then incorporate stakeholder comments, and then only then do we ask the bill to be introduced to parliament? Clearly, the answer to that, to the business, it would be irrespective of the fact that we might believe that the changes to the original bill might not be that substantial on the basis of which was consulted on, it would still have been a useful process. Rather than having to just use the stakeholder, the parliamentary process as the only real stakeholder engagement process. It does, however, again, always raise the question that even, for instance, the bill that was published in 2003, which was converted and what have you, how many stakeholders actually interacted with the process? Because that's the bill that I have in front of me right now. And I can just go through it and you will see, yes, there are certain things that have been removed, but the bill itself has not changed that substantially, I must admit, but the wording might have. For instance, instead of the energy model, instead of EMEA, of the modeling agency here, this bill, the original, the 2003 version talked about database and information systems. It only focused on one part of it, which is data collection and storage, but not so much the modeling part. But to answer you, the intention was always to consult as widely as possible. We always also assumed that the parliamentary consultation process, because of the widespread nature and the fact that it is in the feet of the members of this committee are the ones that are, I mean, given the mandate to actually consult on this legislative process, that it would have been appropriate. If we could do better before that, we would have. That's the first. The next issue. The fact that even this bill is read like this in terms of input, will it substantially change? Will it differ? Will it introduce things that the stakeholders have not introduced? Maybe not, because the same, most of the stakeholders who came individually here to present. I actually a member of the NEDEC. Some NEDEC has a board team for that, but some people are within NEDEC, at large, what have you, who are represented in NEDEC, came to present separately from NEDEC. So the comments that you see, stakeholder comments, are not going to differ too much from the comments which would be coming from the But yes, the question still remains. If there were to be substantially different, how would we deal with it? I think that question, I would say Parliament yourself would actually deal with that question. But in essence, the same members would have been the ones that are participating in the election. They would have made input there in that network report. There are additional, of course, there are those members that might not represent NEDEC who also need to vote. So those, I guess, how it would be the decision of the committee in terms of whether you see a substantial difference between the general stakeholder comments and the comments that they stand.
Thank you very much. In the absence of any further input from the members, I think that we can thank, therefore, input